Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 390. Why is thy faith in God's great love so small? Why doth thy heart shrink back at duty's call? Art thou obeying this? Abide in me. And doth the Master's word abide in thee? Hymn number 390. The scriptural this morning will be given by Wendy from Georgia.
Good morning. Proverbs. Take the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Matthew. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bringeth forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes.
We will have a moment of silent prayer and then follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our
Father, which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 370. We are hid with Christ forever in the Father's holy plan. In this pure, eternal union, we behold the perfect man. And we know that sin can never overthrow the sacred rod of dominion over evil. We are hid with Christ in God. Hymn number 370.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We have members and participants from around the world. You can find us on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you can also find us on YouTube, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter. We conduct services every Sunday morning, beginning at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion. And we have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening, beginning at 8:15 p.m., where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives changed through the study and practice of Christian Science. And you can listen to all of our services either on our website, on YouTube, or from your telephone by a teleconference number that we provide. Also on Sundays at 11 o'clock every morning, we have a Sunday school for children. And that class has its own teleconference number. So if you don't live in the area and you have a child who would like to attend the Sunday school, please call the church. We'll give you the number and your child will be most welcome. And for all of our services, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So bring the whole family. Next Saturday, we will have another Bible studies class beginning at 10 a.m. The study questions will be on our website shortly. So check them out and please join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. We will now have the reading of a testimony from the chapter entitled Fruitage in Science and Health, which attests to the healing power obtained just by reading the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Joseph from the UK.
The textbook healed me. For 12 years previous to the fall of 1897, I had been under the care of a physician much of the time. Different opinions were given by them as to the nature of the trouble, some diagnosing it as an abnormal growth, etc. I was healed through reading Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mrs. Eddy. It was a clear case of transformation of the body by the renewal of the mind. I am perfectly well at the present time. J.M.H., Omaha, Nebraska.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 2 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, Unreality. Golden text is 1 Corinthians. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The responsive reading is from John. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly.
Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me.
But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me.
And I give unto them eternal life.
My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Fairley from Maryland will read from the Bible.
The Holy Bible. Psalm. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Isaiah. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. Luke. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. Then said Jesus, John, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king! But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. And they took Jesus and led him away, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Acts. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. First John, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Florence from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from our textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. The scriptures imply that God is all in all. From this, it follows that nothing possesses reality nor existence except the divine mind and his ideas. The scriptures also declare that God is spirit. Therefore, in spirit, all is harmony, and there can be no discord. all is life, and there is no death. Everything in God's universe expresses Him. Reality is spiritual, harmonious, immutable, immortal, divine, eternal. Nothing unspiritual can be real, harmonious, or eternal. Sin, sickness, and mortality are the suppositional antipodes of spirit and must be contradictions of reality. Mortal existence is an enigma. Every day is a mystery. The testimony of the corporeal senses cannot inform us what is real and what is delusive, but the revelations of Christian Science unlock the treasures of truth. Whatever is false or sinful can never enter the atmosphere of spirit. Knowledge gained from material sense is figuratively represented in Scripture as a tree bearing the fruits of sin, sickness, and death. Ought we not then to judge the knowledge thus obtained to be untrue and dangerous, since the tree is known by his fruit? Because of mortals' material and sinful belief, the spiritual Jesus was imperceptible to them. The higher his demonstration of divine science carried the problem of being, and the more distinctly he uttered the demands of its divine principle, truth, and love, the more odious he became to sinners and to those who, depending on doctrines and material laws to save them from sin and sickness, were submissive to death as being in supposed accord with the inevitable law of life. Jesus proved them wrong by his resurrection and said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." The Christ idea, or the Christ man, rose higher to human view because of the crucifixion, and thus proved that truth was the master of death. His disciples believed Jesus to be dead while he was hidden in the sepulchre, whereas he was alive, demonstrating within the narrow tomb the power of spirit to overrule mortal material sense. There were rock-ribbed walls in the way, and a great stone must be rolled from the cave's mouth. But Jesus vanquished every material obstacle, overcame every law of matter, and stepped forth from his gloomy resting place, crowned with the glory of a sublime success, an everlasting victory. Our Master fully and finally demonstrated divine science in his victory over death and the grave. Jesus' deed was for the enlightenment of men and for the salvation of the whole world from sin, sickness, and death. Jesus said, John 8:51, "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." That statement is not confined to spiritual life, but includes all the phenomena of existence. Jesus demonstrated this, healing the dying and raising the dead. Mortal mind must part with error, must put off itself with its deeds, and immortal manhood, the Christ ideal, will appear. Faith should enlarge its borders and strengthen its base by resting upon spirit instead of matter. When man gives up his belief in death, he will advance more rapidly towards God, life, and love. Belief in sickness and death, as certainly as belief in sin, tends to shut out the true sense of life and health. When will mankind wake to this great fact in science? Death is but another phase of the dream that existence can be material. Nothing can interfere with the harmony of being nor end the existence of man in science. Man is the same after as before a bone is broken or the body guillotined. If man is never to overcome death, why do the scriptures say the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death? The tenor of the word shows that we shall obtain the victory over death in proportion as we overcome sin. The great difficulty lies in ignorance of what God is. God, life, truth, and love make man undying. Immortal mind governing all must be acknowledged as supreme in the physical realm, so-called, as well as in the spiritual. The resurrection of the great demonstrator of God's power was the proof of his final triumph over body and matter and gave full evidence of divine science, evidence so important to mortals. The belief that man has existence or mind separate from God is a dying error. This error Jesus met with divine science and proved its nothingness. Because of the wondrous glory which God bestowed on his anointed, temptation, sin, sickness, and death had no terror for Jesus. Let men think they had killed the body. Afterwards, he would show it to them unchanged. The relinquishment of all faith in death and also of the fear of its sting would raise the standard of health and morals far beyond its present elevation and would enable us to hold the banner of Christianity aloft with unflinching faith in God, in life eternal. Sin brought death, and death will disappear with the disappearance of sin. Man is immortal, and the body cannot die, because matter has no life to surrender. The human concept named matter, death, disease, sickness, and sin are all that can be destroyed. Life is real, and death is the illusion. A demonstration of the facts of soul in Jesus' way resolves the dark visions of material sense into harmony and immortality. Man's privilege at this supreme moment is to prove the words of our Master, "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." To divest thought of false trust and material evidences in order that the spiritual facts of being may appear. This is the great attainment by means of which we shall sweep away the false and give place to the true. Thus we may establish in truth the temple or body whose builder and maker is God.
We We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 253. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. O'er waiting harp strings of the mind, there sweeps a strain, low, sad, and sweet, whose measures bind the power of pain, and wake a white-winged angel throng of thoughts, illumined by faith, and breathed in raptured song with love perfumed. Hymn number 253.
Thank you. showing us the way to liberty and opening our eyes so we can see the chains that locked us up are self-imposed. Humility's the key.
Without this truth, the human heart would be forever doomed, consigned to have its hope and faith entombed in pride of life, cold and alone.
The stone from the door of human hope and faith, and through the revelation and the demonstration of
life in God has elevated them to possible atonement with the spiritual idea of man
and his divine principle.
Christ is here, and we can receive the word. There is an answer if we want it.
And with this truth, we're saved from every bond of false belief, and finding simple trust in God relief.
We will now sing hymn number 18. Be firm and be faithful, desert not the right. The brave become bolder, the darker the night. Then up and be doing, though cowards may fail. Thy duty pursuing, dare all and prevail. Hymn number 18.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passage from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen.